Hallelujah. Today we're in a little series called Jesus in Our Midst, and today the message is titled God Heals You. And I want to ask Brother Nick here if you could go ahead and read. This is Luke 13, 10 through 17.
Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman who had had a disabling spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not fully straighten herself. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said to her, "Woman, you are freed from your disability." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was straight, and she glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, said to the people, "There are 6 days in which work ought to be done. Come on those days to be healed, not on the Sabbath day." Then the Lord answered him, "You hypocrites! Does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to water it? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound for 18 years, be loosed from the bond on this Sabbath day?" As he said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame, and all the people rejoiced at all the glorious things that were done by him.
Amen. This is the word of the Lord. I want to talk and set this up kind of as the big love story backdrop with Jesus, and to bring some things to the story and the dynamics of what's going on there. The notes that you have are going to be kind of toward the end, so this is going to be kind of a little bit longer of a runway, what we're doing here. In Jeremiah chapters 2 through 4, and Hosea, we see Jesus depicting, or the God is depicted as this lover who takes his young bride and delivers her and takes her into this new land. But as you see through in Jeremiah and all, they forsake him. There's a dynamic here of God's coming to his people and his people don't want him. It's kind of like, there's two things I want to bring up. First of all, how many people have been through a divorce? If your spouse left you, and you are on the pain end of that, here's the situation: you've opened up your life, and you've given yourself to someone, and then it doesn't work, and then they leave, and now you're forsaken, and the pain in that is tremendous. And you probably more than anybody else have an insight into the heart of God, because this is the pain that God feels. He's been divorced by his people. And so his heart is broken because he's a broken-hearted lover of your soul. Now most of us say, we would say that sin would be the breaking of God's law. And when you are a person that thinks sin is the breaking of God's law, that's a definition of it, you're more like a Mount Sinai type. And what you would do is when you fail, you would scold yourself for failing. And scolders who want to keep the law and try to do good by the law end up debilitating their own heart because your heart can't take the scolding. And you scold other people for their breaking of the law. But if you expand the definition of sin to be breaking God's heart, that puts a whole nother dimension to the love of the lover of your soul. Now, here's the deal. There's something, biologically speaking, I don't usually go there, but there's something in a man and there's something in a woman. And if they do not connect, the species dies. They're dead. So God made it when all through creation, the male and the female have a physical attraction. And they come together and the race goes on. Now let's look at, there's something in God and there's something in man. And for you to have meaning and worth and security, that they do not die. These need to be connected. There's something in God that connects with you and awakens your value, awakens your worth. Are you there? Now, Jesus is the lover of our soul. He's the forsaken lover. He's the jilted. Jesus, in all of his majesty and all of his glory and power, God came down and said, made himself vulnerable and opened himself up to be loved, and knows so well the depth of rejection and the heartache and the hurt of when we pick something other than him. He understands that. And so he came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. And that's our opening thought on the top of the notes. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. Why? Now in Jeremiah, you see the people turning to other gods. There's an adultery and there's a spiritual adultery. And if you want to go for this, is for mature audiences only. If you want to go read this out of the message, we're not going to go into that right now. But here's the point. Some little thoughts through there. What it is they turned to worthless things. Listen to this. They turned to worthless things and they themselves became worthless. Here's how it works. There's something always good. You know, people don't just usually go for something terrible and make it an idol or something. They usually go for something good. And they go for something good, and then they make it their ultimate good. And when you make something good your ultimate good, and you couldn't live without it, and you would die if you didn't have it, that's called an idol, and that's idolatry. And what this, what the Pharisees did, what this ruler of the synagogue did, why he was indignant, is he made his own performance, his own morality, the ultimate good. Now here's the problem with that. If your own personal morality is your ultimate good, and it's your way of salvation, what happens when you fail? You have no Savior, because you're it. And now it's all over, right? Are you there? And so Jesus comes, and he comes to his own people, and he comes to this religious system that's dead and just chewing people up and spitting them out. One of the wonderful things about Christianity and about the fail-safe things are in it is this. All through the Old Testament, it has a kind of a self-corrective potential in it. When the people get off, the prophets come and call them back to the true way of the Lord. Jesus comes, and he comes to his own, and he calls them to him. And throughout church history, people get off, and these prophetic voices rise up. The church is dead. Return to the relationship of the Lord. Repent. Call upon him. Be his. And this prophetic, and this is a season in the world right now where the self-corrective work, the Holy Spirit comes up. We're going to have a revival of a pouring out of the Spirit of God. And it's going to happen in locations, and there's going to come transformation, and the church is going to partner with cities, and there's going to be a rising up of the good things of the Lord. See? And this is a season, it's a time, and this is what we're in. Hallelujah. Make sure I got everything I wanted to get out there. Oh, so this guy rises up and he goes, I want to talk just a little bit more about this religious guy. This synagogue guy rises up and he said, because he's indignant. And he says, you know, all these times you can work all week long. This is crazy, crazy talk. You can work. He sees this Jesus walking in. Don't you love it when, this is the picture of this. This lady, 18 years, been going to this synagogue under this religious kook. And she can't get any help. And the moment she gets some, he says, you should have done that on another day. Because his God is his religion, not the living God.
That's right.
His God is his religion. And if it doesn't fit up to his mind, and there's a lot of that out there today. There's this attitude against helping people where they really need it. But where people really need it is a touch from the Lord himself. Right? And people, she came and she... It was the time she came to church and Jesus was there. Jesus came into the house. But this guy reacts and Jesus says, you're a hypocrite. Now, a hypocrite is a person who says one thing and lives another. That's basically it. Pretense. Desire for things. And so Jesus calls it what it is. You hypocrite. He pretends to have virtues. Pretends to have moral and religious beliefs, pretends to have principles, but doesn't actually possess them. The facade. Now, this lady, tell you what, let's go ahead to the first fill in the blank. I think I got there. I just want to talk about when she walks in, this is an amazing thing, and Jesus sees what disables you. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus sees what disables you. I just want to let the comfort of the Lord begin to come in the room here, because I believe the Lord quickened the word to me and a declaration over us today. She went to church. The Bible says it's a disabling spirit. This disabling spirit was with her 18 years. We never know what kind of opens up a door to a disabling spirit. Another version calls it a crippling spirit. Another one says the crippling of an evil spirit. One says a spirit of infirmity. There's different reasons why people become infirmed and become affected by this. And she was bent over. And the devil doesn't want you to walk upright. In fact, the bondage of Satan are meant to make you crooked, and you can never fully straighten up some area of your life. We're going to use her as a kind of an imagery for us. Her infirmity was seen on the outside, but it probably took time for the bondage to progress and bend her body. Maybe it was a little at a time. Maybe it happened in her life because some burden happened so that she could not bear it. Maybe she had a great loss to her heart and she never recovered. How many of you know these things happen? Maybe she'd given her heart to someone, they rejected her and carried this ungrieved losses and unresolved pain. And when we suppress these emotional needs, we can suffer from this high need to control and then suppress the feelings of sadness, embarrassment, shame, and hurt feelings. Let me tell you, medically speaking, rheumatoid arthritis, which this woman may have suffered from, has an emotional root. There is a direct relation between a tremendous stress of self-hatred and all the autoimmune diseases. When a person really hates themselves because all the bad things that go in, it begins to break down the body. And it says they can harbor fear and they don't want to face it. And they don't want to face themselves, and they're so full of self-hatred, which produces a whole lot of guilt. And then out of that conflict, this causes the white corpuscles to attack the connective material of the bones and to eat it and to produce rheumatoid arthritis. So she had some kind of emotional situation going on. We have other verses in the Bible that put them there. Who knows? She could have grown up in a family with angry parents, or her husband left her and went into the arms of another woman. We don't know the situation, but we know she's bent over. And the Proverbs 17:22 says, "A joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones." So you can imagine when she came in, she wasn't going, "Hallelujah, hallelujah." Something had gotten into her life, and she wasn't doing well. Is that right? And she was staring down all the time because she was bent over. And something of a crushed spirit dries up the bones. Proverbs 14:30 says, "A sound heart is life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bones." This is a long-term problem. And people can go to church and have long-term problems, and they need to encounter Jesus there. And every person that comes in, Jesus sees them. And He sees what disables each of us. Let's all just say, "Thank you, Lord." So when someone comes into the presence of God, His eye is on the sparrow, and He knows He's watching us. And He sees beyond the physical. He sees into the depth of the heart. And He understands the life issues. He knows what happened to you. That's why we give a lot of room for people not to be right for a while. How many of you came in and you just weren't right for a while? Because it takes multiple times of the Lord allowing the encounter and come and the encounter and come and the encounter and come and the encounter. And then you go, "I think I'm going to get, but God does really actually love me." Well, we begin to work through that. Because He sees what's disabled you. He understands. He saw the lady. His eyes went upon her. He was teaching in the synagogue, and His eyes went to the lady. Here He is. He came into as the lover of the souls of Israel. He came into the room, and there was a daughter who had struggled and gone through severe pain in life and was hurting deeply. And He saw her. And He understood what had happened to her. Let's go to number two. Jesus calls you to Himself. He called her over. "Hey, honey, come over here. Come on over here." She's coming over. Coming over to Jesus. There's a moment. You know when it happens. You know what happens. The Lord's about to do something wonderful in your life. Something magnificent. And you feel His drawing your heart. How many of you had moments like that? The tears begin to come up. Jesus is calling me over. There's an understanding that something is good is going to happen in my life right now.
Because Jesus, the one that loves me, the lover of my soul, is going to cause me to experience Him and be helped by Him. And we're going to be different. And a hope rises. Hallelujah. He calls us over. Some people have long-term problems, and somehow Satan is the root cause, and some people are disabled in an area of their life, and they're bent over, and they never can reach what they're able to reach. Is there something in your life that's kept you from standing upright for Jesus in an area of your life? How about this? Is there a reoccurring situation in your life that has bent you out of shape? Has anybody here been out of shape in a particular area of your life? You've come into the house and Jesus is calling you over. He sees what's disabled you. He understands what's going on right now. Do you have a broken spirit? Have you been crushed? Is there some kind of a war going on with a jealousy kind of a thing that's begun to rotten something in you? I don't know everybody. I don't know all the little private battles that go on, but the woman had a rough condition, and she was bent out of shape by life. Have you had difficulty getting yourself or a situation in your life straightened out? Has anybody been on that route? You go through that stuff. Trying to get a situation to straighten out because it's got all you got y'all bent up over it. Is there an unresolved pain in your life that is a burden to you? The name of this message is God Heals You. So these are the kind of questions. This is like a doctor comes up and he goes, you don't love doctors, you know, they go, does this hurt right here? And you go, I'm fighting not to hit you right now. That hurts so bad. Then that can happen. See, if somebody can ask a question, you go, I don't want to go here anymore. I'm going to leave. Now, I don't think that's really going on in the room, but here's the deal. I think that the Lord's going to unravel something because I'm going to, when I went through this, the Lord spoke, He made something rise up in me to decree or to declare to you. And I was like, wow. So I want to set our hearts up. That's why I'm asking these questions. Has there been some kind of a work of the adversary to come to disable a part of your life? Has there? Okay, we're all in agreement. Good. Is there something going on in that way? The Lord has, there's good news from you from the passage. I want to have a prophetic declaration about it. So let's ask you this. What has disabled you for a while in an area of your life? What is it? What place has the devil used to make you stoop and hold your head in shame? Where have you had that wrestling match over and over? What's going on there? Is there something that you really need from the Lord? Because something could be, just like in rheumatoid arthritis, something just could be behind the scenes eating you up a little bit. Are you there? Eating at you, eating at you, eating at you. If we're on the same page here, because all I do is I just go before the Lord. I just go before the Lord and say, Lord, what do the people need? What do people? And this is all an act of faith. And I get up here and I go, I'm just totally shooting for it. And I don't I go, okay, how do you want to do this, Lord? What is it? And the Lord just says, I'm with you. There was one time, it was wonderful. I was on an airplane and I was going down to Chesapeake. And Heather and I were on this little plane that I think they gave us some wrenches and stuff to tighten up the bolts on the plane. It was so small. And it was rattling and everything. And finally, we got down to Chesapeake. But on the plane, I was looking over my teaching notes because I was going to do a worship seminar. And the Lord said, right here in this part, that was an amazing thing. The Lord says, right here in this part of the teaching, I'm going to enter the room. I went, wow. Hey, honey, the Lord told me right here in this part of the teaching, He's going to enter the room. I said, okay, cool, whatever that means. So I got to that part, and I'm standing in front of the people. And I said, this is the part where the Lord said, when I got to this part in the teaching, He was going to enter the room. The power of God fell. And people started manifesting. One guy was, Heather had to hold the head of this girl who was demonically oppressed, and she's beating her head against the floor, and he had to stop. It was a trip. I went, I didn't know you were going to enter like that. She remembers. It was one of those where I said, the Lord said He's going to enter the room right here during this part. And man, it just kind of came down. It's like, well, the Lord said, because He wanted to heal people. And His Spirit came in and began to wash people. And I said, Lord, is it going to be like that? He says, no, just trust me. Trust me. But I believe an injection of faith is going to go in your spirit right now. I believe the Lord is saying, there's something I'm going to do for you that you can't do for yourself. I'm going to disable something. that has been a long-term battle. So lift your faith up right now. Let's praise Him just for a minute. Because the Lord's going to say it to you. Go ahead and put it up. Number three. You are freed from your disability. You are freed. Listen, you are freed from your disability. You are freed from your disability. Receive it. You're freed. You're freed. You're freed from your disability now. You're freed. You're free now. Right now, you're freed from your disability. Come on, receive it. You're freed. I'm freed. Say, I'm freed. I'm freed. I'm freed. Just like that woman, I'm freed from my disability. Let's praise the Lord. I'm freed from it. I'm freed. I'm freed from this now. Right now. Right now. I'm freed. I'm freed from my disability. I'm freed from it. I'm freed from it. I'm freed from it. I'm freed from it. I'm free. Let's praise the Lord. I'm freed from my disability. Receive it in full faith. Get your mind out of the way and get your heart open. And the lover of your soul has come in and he sees what's been disabling you. And he's coming and says, get over here. You're freed from your disability. Praise him. Come on, praise him. Just take a moment. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. It's whatever the adversary has brought to disable a part of your life. There are strategies that he has done, and God's highlighted something to you, and the Lord has come and says, I've got my finger on it. And you're freed from it right now. Let's receive that. Praise you, Lord. Receive that. Because your life is straightening out starting today. It's straightening out. Whatever's meant to bend you over is not going to bend you over anymore. No, 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 no. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Receive the healing word. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. Let's go ahead and praise Him a little bit. Praise you, Lord. Don't wonder about it. Receive it. Don't wonder about it. Let something rise up, quicken in you. Because every time a word goes forth, the devil says, that's not for you. He's a liar. He's always been a liar. He'll rise up and say, well, you know, you should have done it today. He's always going to be around. But today, today, today. Oh, now, there. Let's as we praise Him a little, let's go ahead. I feel like the Lord just put the word that He's unlocking some stuff right now. Hallelujah. Unlocking the root cause behind the scenes of what the enemy's doing. He's unlocking it. He's unlocked. Something's come to bind you, and He's loosening it now. Come on, let's receive this. He's unloosening it now. It says, woman, thou art loosed, was the way it was in the King James. This is as you're freed. You're freed. You're freed. Past tense. You're freed from your disability. Whatever's come to disable you, whatever demonic power or presence behind it, it's now being confronted right now. Right now. Right now. Praise the Lord. Spirit of God is increasing, I believe. Praise God. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Let's receive it. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Jesus laid His hands. Praise you, Lord. 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 Jesus has seen what has sought to disable you. Jesus has not only seen it, He's called you to Himself. And now you're there and He's saying to you, you're freed. You're freed. You're freed. You're freed from this disabling spirit. You're freed from the thing that has come to disable your life. You're freed from it. You're freed from it. We're just going to stay here, right here, till this takes a hold. This word has come into the house, and the Lord is doing a work. It's a healing work, because the Lord is our healer. Jesus is in our midst today. Let's praise Him. Come on, praise Him. Praise Him. There's an atmosphere shifting right now. You're getting it into. You're getting into. You're opening up to it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There's no one like you, Lord. There's no one like you. You're the lover of our soul. You saw what was coming down the road. You saw what the devil was trying to do. You see it and you're dismantling it. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Because the Lord is saying, in this word, He's saying this. He says, don't scold yourself anymore for disappointments that you are having a struggle letting go of. Because you broke the law. Look to Me, the lover of your soul. Because I'm heartbroken over the things that have hurt you.
Let me just tell you what the real gospel of Jesus Christ is. Every pain, every sin, every hurt, every strategy of the devil against you, meant to misshape in you and bend you up, Jesus took on himself. Do you realize? Do you realize that Jesus was bent over? He was bent over when he was looking at that woman. I wonder if he was going, I'm going to be bending over soon at the whipping post. I'm going to be bent over. I'm going to be misshapen. I'm going to be whipped for your healing. I'm going to pay the price to redeem you out of all the strategies of hell and of all the sicknesses of your life. I'm come to heal you. And Jesus says, I'm going to be bent over for you. They're going to bend me over, and I'm going to carry a cross. And the burden that got on you, I'm putting it on me. And I'm going to be bent over carrying that burden. The burden of your sin, the burden of your sickness, the burden of whatever made your heart want to go another way. Oh, praise him. Let's praise him right now. Thank you, Lord. 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 Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Don't let go. 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 The healing. Oh, let's praise him right now. This breath of God. Hallelujah. Breath of God. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's go. Praise the Lord. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Praise you, Jesus. Engage, engage, engage your spirit. Engage your spirit. Engage your spirit. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Go ahead and thank him. Let me just say, right around you right now, we're not quite done. Right around you, God's touching somebody. Put your hand on their shoulder. Put your hand on their shoulder. And go ahead and here's the rest of this verse. And he laid hands on her. And he laid hands on her. And he laid hands on her. And immediately she was straightened up. Immediately she straightened up. Lay your hands on somebody. Lay your hands. Immediately she straightened up. Hallelujah. Let's receive that. Let the Lord's presence, the current of his power, flow through you right now. Hallelujah. We need one another. Let Jesus in the room flow through you. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Immediately she was made straight and she glorified God. You can go ahead and start that right now. Let's say, thank you, Lord. We glorify you, Lord. We glorify you, Lord. Oh, we glorify you, Lord. We glorify you, Lord, for dismantling the work of darkness, for dismantling this strategy against my soul. This thing that's been cast down, this thing that meant to misshape in me is overthrown, and I'm straightening up in my life. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. We love you. Glorify you. We glorify you. We glorify you. We glorify you. Oh, we glorify you. Oh, we glorify you. Oh, we glorify you, Lord. We glorify you. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Jesus laid his hands. He says, come on over. He says, I see what's disabling you. I see it. Come on over here. You're freed from your disability. And as he laid his hand on him, it's got straightened out. And as the Lord, as the lady began to feel the changes, I wonder where she felt them. Probably in her bones, probably in her heart. Do you know why I think she felt it in her heart? Because the one with the lover of her soul was standing there. You know, right after this, Jesus said, it only takes faith like the size of a mustard seed. It doesn't take a lot. When Jesus is in the room, it doesn't take a lot. And it says in that little mustard seed will grow up, and now there'll be all kinds of birds that come and live in that. It doesn't take a lot to get it going. Said it's like putting some leaven hiding some leaven in the dough and watching it rise. When Jesus gets around, it's like a secret. Everything starts to change and rise. And right after that, he talked about the narrow road. He was saying, Get on the narrow road back to loving me first, and not the wide road that leads to destruction. And then right after that, this is all in chapter 13, right after that, he said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem," and he wept. He says, you've missed your visitation. If you knew who was standing here in your midst, you feel the longings of the lover of their soul. But you chose another God. And that's what we need to repent of, isn't it? Trusting in something else other than Jesus, huh? And then the very beginning of chapter 14, Jesus is healing a guy again with dropsy. It's edema, really. And he looks right at the Pharisees and says, "You take care of your ox, wouldn't you? You take that and get some. This guy's more important than your animal." And he had to keep going through this healing on the Sabbath thing to break the back of that religious spirit that says not. That's what the lover of your soul does. He breaks the barriers of religiosity. He breaks the barriers. Hallelujah. And I want to ask you a question. What is it that causes you to... Look, there's a difference. See, when you know you break the law, that's one thing. But when you're breaking somebody's heart, that's a love thing. And this is to bring us up higher, isn't it? It's to bring us up higher. In The Lord of the Rings, the Hobbit, Pippin, was standing, I guess, kind of at the gates, and he was seeing the Demon King coming, and the Demon King was going to come and wipe out the city, and he was going to die. And then he heard these distant trumpets. I mean, the distant sound of trumpets and the horns in the distance. He heard the horns in the distance, and here comes the King of Rohan and his army. And they're galloping in, and they come, and they take on this Demon King and his forces, and they wipe them out. And in the process, the King of Rohan dies. And Tolkien writes after that, Pippin, every time he heard horns in the distance, he burst into tears. Because every time he heard the horns in the distance, he remembered the day of his salvation and the one who died for him. And I'm wondering, do you have horns in the distance? What is it that you could go back to and say, "Oh, I love him so"? Because that's what you need to be bringing to mind. You don't need to bring all these other things to your mind. What's wrong? You need to bring the lover of your soul to your mind. To walk into the fullness of healing, you need to have that. Has God done something good for you? Renew your mind with it. Praise you, Jesus.